You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a fresh new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and this is the show where we go around the world to give you the inside scoop on your Houston Rockets. And the Rockets, well, they're finally back from their marathon trip, 13-hour flight back from China to Houston after Wednesday's game. They're back at practice at Toyota Center today. They resume preseason play Saturday night against the Memphis Grizzlies. And for the first time in over a week, most of us in the Houston media, including myself, well, we actually got to talk to the team. Because, as I've said before, very few of us have the budgets to go to China, especially for preseason games. So we were just watching on TV. For the first time in really 10 days, we were able to actually sit down with some of the players, with head coach Mike D'Antoni, and get some updates on everything that happened on their trip, both on the court in terms of their play, two more wins against the Pelicans, and off the court with regards to the injury situations with the likes of Pat Beverley and Clint Capella. Now, I could tell you everything that Mike D'Antoni said, but I figure a lot of you, well, you've been wanting to hear from your team, and there just hasn't been that much media available this past week, so I figured might as well let Mike tell you himself. So I'm going to play you the audio of Mike speaking with those of us in the media today. A lot of interesting subjects. I would say really three interesting things stood out. First, he updates the physical status of guys like Beverley and Capella. Second, he talks his approach to the preseason game this weekend against Memphis. And third, he says some really interesting things about positions for players and how this roster is taking shape and where certain guys may fit in. So again, I could tell you, but rather than try and summarize, I'm going to run the audio from Mike himself. One asterisk. I apologize for the basketballs in the background. There's some bouncing of balls, some shoes squeaking. That's because we were only able to talk to Coach at right when the Rockets were getting ready for their practice, practicing from about 12 to 2 today, and then they'll rest and get ready for tomorrow night's game at 7 o'clock in Toyota Center. Now, on the other side of Mike's comments, I'm going to break down, basically try and decode what I think he means, especially on the injury situations and the positions. But before I do that, here's Mike.
Well, no, it's we have good shooters, and that's one thing we got to just make sure we get them open. If we get them open, they're going to make shots. So the offense is clicking pretty good. We can get a lot better, obviously, and have to improve in a lot of areas, but that part of the game looks pretty good.
Eric said he got on you about their defense. Eric said you got on them about their defensive play. Tell me what's going on.
Well, no, just we got to get better. I mean, that's going to be our key this year, and we have to get it to a level that's good. If it is good, the offense should be excellent. And so most of the attention will go into getting defense up as good as we can get it. I don't think so. You know, what I hear, that it's just a matter of a couple weeks, a week. I would love for him to be with us now. I know he's suffering from not playing, but it's a long season, whatever it takes to get him well. He'll eventually get well. It could be 2 weeks or something.
One of those games tomorrow where you young guys really have to show you something, because you had said the last two would be about.
Well, you know, to be honest, that a little bit. But, you know, there was a rumor out there we're going to play a lot of young guys. This is a game for us tomorrow. We're playing our guys. We don't have time to throw away. We went to China, and, you know, the traveling and the time change. You do miss a couple of days. We don't have time to, let's play these guys, give them a look. No, they need a guy. I will watch them today. Tomorrow we're playing our other guys, and we're going to try to have a great game. Now, there'll be a quarter where they might get a chance to shine, and we'll see what they can do.
When you guys go on a trip like that, obviously you want to get better on the court, but what does it do in terms of camaraderie and team chemistry?
I think that helps. I think all of it helps. Just as a person, I think it develops you a little bit better to try another culture, to understand different things. Off the court, they did a lot of things. They shared experiences, like visiting the wall and different things that they can, you know, bond a little bit. I think it's all good. But we did that also this summer. So I think in that area, we're a pretty good check.
How do you feel about having...
How
we shoot the ball good.
is there any good takeaway?
No, I don't think anything one, like, you know, stands out. We're learning every day about, you know, this guy needs to do this better, that guy needs to do that. It's mostly individual stuff. As a team, collectively, yeah, we got to get better defensively. There's a lot of things on offense we can clean up. So we still have a long ways to go. Still training camp. And even in the season, the first 20 games, they're tough for us, but it's going to be, we got a long learning process, and we got to get better.
How do you feel about Eric or KJ starting against starting point guards, defending starting point guards, if they need to do that now with Pat out?
Yeah, I think they can. I don't see why not, depending on the point guard you tell me, you know, obviously. But I think also Trevor can move the slide over there and do that with his length. So we have different answers. But, you know, I mean, Pat will be back. Pat will be back, and that'll probably be his primary mission is to guard point guard. So he'll be back.
Conditioning-wise, is Capella getting better?
Conditioning?
Yeah.
Capella, I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Yeah, I think so. You know, he had a little bit of a sore hamstring the last couple of days, so it set him back a little bit. But that's a big push he's got to make, and that's something they work on and off the court, and he has to find that energy and play with his motor up a little bit.
With Monty Unis still not here, some of your young power forwards, Montrez and Kyle, have both gotten some run with the rotation guys. How would you assess how they played?
I thought both of them played extremely well. I think Kyle played really well, but also Sam Decker moved to the four, and I thought that he looked really good. Montrez has moved to the five. He's more of a five than a four, okay. So that's where his position is for us right now on this team. But both those three guys, all three of them, played really well.
Are there any news on Demo?
No, not that I know of.
Because you don't have Demo, you see Decker, I don't know, full time is the right word, at the four for Decker?
Yeah, you know, I just think right now that's for our system, and you know, it changes on different teams, but in our system, I see him as a really good four. And he's come on, he's embraced it, and he'll play where he needs to play. He wants to play. So if I ask him to play three, four, it doesn't matter. Our fours and threes are not that much different in our system. So, but he gives us a lot of power, a lot of speed coming off the bench at the four that helps the team out.
You see KJ get into a rhythm more at the two because you don't have Pat.
Right.
Yeah. Is that you seeing that out of him?
Yeah.
He's getting more
comfortable
at that.
I think so. You know, he's got to pick up his motor too. That's one thing that, you know, in this league, energy goes a long ways, and a lot of times guys don't make it because the energy's down, and he has to work on that. He has to keep his energy up all the time.
Coach, is there a point where, like, maybe Demo would need to be back in order to be able to contribute, or would you be, I mean, whenever he comes, if he comes?
Yeah, we'd just like to have him back. That's hard to say. It's, he'll be able to contribute whenever he comes in, so yeah, but sooner the better.
Coach, in general, just how happy are you with the group and what they're doing and how far they've come?
It's good. I think every coach worries about things that we need to get better at. The biggest thing I like about them is that every practice, every game, they're giving everything they got and they're trying to get better. And if you have that, then usually it works out pretty good.
That was head coach Mike D'Antoni. Now, a couple of things that really stand out to me. First, the Pat Beverly talk. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but this is the first time that it's not been mentioned as just a nuisance. He used the phrase 2 weeks, corrected it later and said, you know, maybe just a week. But the point is, we're not talking about just a little nagging thing, and the way it was phrased to us immediately, they announced it before the Knicks game, and well, he wasn't going to make the trip to China, but that was just a precaution, extensive travel time, all that kind of stuff. He's already been out almost 2 weeks. This injury occurred after the Shanghai game, which he played in. So either Monday the 3rd or Tuesday the 4th is when it happened. Monday will be 2 weeks, so already at that point. So if it's another week or two from that, you're looking at 3 to 4 weeks. So that's not a little thing. That actually matters. Now, of course, these aren't real games. It's the preseason, but it certainly affects his ability to you know, build chemistry and cohesion with his teammates as they go through this process. Another thing that's interesting, they still have not gotten very specific about the injury at all. It's called a left knee irritation. They have been very careful not to use the word sprain. For those of you who may not know the medical terminology that well, When you hear the word sprain, that inherently means there is ligament damage. You know, a sprain is a tear. That's something that Will Carroll, aka injury expert on Twitter, always says. They have not used the word sprain. They said irritation. I think that's to kind of, you know, keep everyone's concerns grounded. I hope it's honest, but we have no reason to, you know, really doubt them too much at this point. It's not like we haven't seen Pat Beverly. He was at practice. He was stressed out with the sleeve on his knee. He just was not formally going through the practice, and he's not going to play tomorrow night against the Grizzlies. Now, as far as the timetable, I would say it sounds like we're not going to see him in the preseason the rest of the way, because the final preseason game, the 7th of the 7th, is next Friday against the Spurs. So if it's going to be at least a week, best case scenario, maybe he comes back that game in a week. But if it's 2 weeks, you're really looking at the start of the regular season when they open up against the Lakers on the 26th, and then they're in Dallas on Friday the 28th. That would be exactly 2 weeks. So, yeah, it's looking like, you know, this might be, you don't see Pat Beverly again until we get to the regular season. And that was just the tone I got. Nothing sounds overly concerning. When Josh Reist asked Mike if he was concerned, he said, well, I don't think so, not based on what I hear. But he also threw in, well, it's a long season, and those kind of caveats. So I don't think the outlook has changed dramatically. It's not, you know, something that you're thinking it's a major injury that's going to linger. But at the same time, yeah, it does look like training camp in the preseason. It's a good thing that Pat Beverly is, you know, he knows his role now as a 3-and-D player, because it doesn't look like he's going to get that much real time with his teammates until the regular season gets here. More positive note, Clint Capella, D'Antoni referred to him having a setback, his hamstring a little sore. He was fully dressed out Friday. The Rockets did not even mention him with their injury report. So I think Capella is going to be good to go starting tomorrow night in Memphis. Speaking of, another interesting thing that came out of that D'Antoni conversation was his outlook for that game. He pushed back pretty hard. He said he had heard a rumor, I don't know where it was, that they'd play young guys against Memphis. No, he said point blank, we don't have many preseason games. We're going to play our guys. So really, he mentioned the potential for a quarter. And I think in some of these games, especially the second Pelicans game, which was a blowout, you know, the fourth quarter, you'll see some of the guys at the end of the bench get in. That's your Gary Payton and your Bobby Brown type players. But by and large, he's taking these games seriously because he believes in building chemistry and getting these guys prepared to play once the regular season opens up in LA in less than 2 weeks. So the thing that's interesting about that is it tells me, you know what, every player you see out there with the regulars, and when I say the regulars, I'm talking guys that we know are in the rotation. James Harden, Eric Gordon, Capella, Nene, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels, we know these guys are going to get out there. So when you see someone like Kyle Wiltshire on Wednesday against New Orleans, or Montrezl Harrell the last couple of games, get run with the rotation, it's interesting because D'Antoni's made it pretty clear. He's taking these games pretty seriously. He wants this team to build chemistry. They don't have that many games. So yes, it is a big deal. And if you see someone playing in the rotation, then sure, it's a big deal, and you can take something out of that. I would also say it's a little bit of a downer with regards to Pat Beverly, because clearly that shows you that, you know, it's not just a precaution, that Beverly would be out there if he was physically capable of playing, because D'Antoni wants to play all of his guys in these games. It's just Beverly's not healthy enough, and unfortunately that is what it is. The upside, as I said a moment ago, is that Beverly's experienced enough in the NBA, especially with the likes of James Harden and Trevor Ariza, and at this point he's grown into his role as a 3-and-D guy. Maybe he needs the preseason a little bit less than some of your newer pieces do. I think Beverly's a little more comfortable in his role and in how he fits with James Harden. So if you had to pick a guy to miss the preseason, Pat might be it, because I think his role is going to be the most constant when you look at Rockets in this coming season relative to what they did a season ago. By the way, one more note on Pat. I pointed this out 2 weeks ago when we first heard about the injury, and I want to mention it again. This is not his right knee. His right knee is the one with the long-standing meniscus issues starting back in late 2014 in the 2014 playoffs, which was never surgically repaired. If it was that, I think there'd be a red flag. This is the other knee, so knock on wood, I don't think there's anything big picture structurally wrong in there. Hopefully it is just an irritation, whatever that means. Anyway, back to Mike's comments. A couple other things. Demo, sounds like nothing new, said he had no update on negotiations, hasn't heard anything. He'd welcome him back if and when he gets here. But obviously, and I said this on Wednesday, the Rockets are starting to make plans for life without him, because it'd be irresponsible of D'Antoni to just bank on Demo reporting at this point. We're over halfway through the preseason. Regular season's less than 2 weeks away. You've got to prepare for your roster with the pieces you have on the roster right now. So that's why I think Kyle Wiltshire, as an undrafted rookie out of Kentucky, got some run with the rotation players in the second quarter against the Pelicans. I think that's why we got Sam Decker in the rotation on Wednesday as well. He didn't play at all in Sunday's game, but Wednesday, yeah, he absolutely did play a pretty big role and played very well, 7 of 9 from the field. And I also thought it was very telling the way Mike pushed back on me and my question about the positions. I wanted to get him to talk about Montrez and Kyle, because they were two of the younger guys that really got a shot on that trip to China. And he did talk about them. But D'Antoni, what he pointed out to me, he sees Harrell exclusively as a five in his system. And that's very interesting. Now, Harrell did play some five in China, but my takeaway was that he did it because, well, they needed bodies. Capella was out of game with a sore hamstring, and his minutes may have been limited on Sunday's game for the same reason. Nene, he's 34 years old. He's looked good, but we know they're trying to cap Nene's minutes so they can keep him healthy. So I just assumed that Harrell was playing there because they needed a body. No, it turns out that in D'Antoni's system, that's where he thinks Harrell is most valuable. So, yeah, this is not just a one-off because of injuries. He's really looking at Harrell as a true five in his system. And really, if you want to look back to those New York teams, you know, he can play a very poor man's role of what Amari Stoudemire did on those Knicks teams with regard to his speed at the five, his ability to quickly finish in traffic. I think that's what they might be looking at with Montrez. And will he play every game in that role? It's hard to see, because certainly Capella and Nene are much more proven, especially defensively at the NBA level. However, if you want to save Nene's body, or if there are matchups where you need more speed, you know, less defense, but more speed, then yes, Harrell could be an option. Now, the other thing that was interesting, yes, he praised Kyle Wiltshire's play, and so did James Harden, because guys, especially big men that can shoot it, are always welcome in a Mike D'Antoni system. The thing that was really interesting is how D'Antoni went on and on about Sam Decker and his ability to be a backup four. In fact, one of the quotes from Mike was, really, in our system, a three and a four are not that different. So it sounds like right now, Sam Decker is your backup power forward. And so far, so good. He did play well in Wednesday's game. It's interesting because Decker did not play in Sunday's game at all. But the interesting thing about it is that that's a game where the Rockets gave up 117 points. They were not that sharp defensively, and Harrell got his minutes at the five. So if Decker didn't play on Sunday, and Harrell played mostly at the five, then your minutes at the four were mostly Ryan Anderson. Now, he did play, I think, 35-plus minutes in that game, so he did take up a big chunk. And other than that, I think they went small a lot with the likes of Trevor Ariza, who D'Antoni mentioned is a very versatile defense player, can obviously play some four, and as he said, can also guard point guards. So there's a lot of things you can do with Trevor's defensive versatility. Also, you had KJ McDaniels with his ability to defend the rim. But I think you could make a case that maybe they were a little bit too small in that Sunday game, and that played a role in their defensive deficiencies. So they tried to do some different things on Wednesday that included playing a lot more Sam Decker, a longer, more versatile player, as your backup power forward, and it sounds like that D'Antoni was very pleased in what he saw. So for right now, I would say that Decker's got the leg up. The way D'Antoni responded to that question, that backup power forward spot, as long as Monty Unis is not in camp, is Decker's to win, especially because, as D'Antoni said, he doesn't see threes and fours really all that different in his system. I don't want to say there's not a chance for Kyle Wiltshire, because again, big guys who can shoot like that, always welcome with Mike D'Antoni and especially with James Harden. However, there's just a numbers game. It is very difficult for him to make the final 15, especially the final 12. It's a pretty deep roster. Now, if he plays that well, can he earn the spot? Absolutely. I don't care how proven a guy is. I don't care what his draft spot is. This is a big year in Houston. This is a veteran team. They want to win. If Kyle Wiltshire is one of the best 12 players, then you know what? He absolutely can earn a spot. But if it's a tie, if it's close, I do think his status as an undrafted rookie is going to work against him. So while they'll give him an opportunity, I think Decker clearly has the leg up based on how Mike D'Antoni is looking at him right now. But we'll learn a lot more once we see who actually plays against Memphis. Because as Coach said, the young players, yeah, he's always evaluating the young players in practice. That's what practice is for. That's when he's looking at some of these guys, the ones like Kyle Wiltshire, Chinonu Anuaku. When it comes to the games, he wants to play his regulars. And there might be a quarter, especially the fourth quarter, that some of these young guys can get into the game. But by and large, if you're playing in this game on Saturday, it's because you have a chance to crack the rotation. So if Wiltshire gets another shot, even if the odds are against him based on him being an undrafted rookie, it's a possibility. Decker's the favorite. Wiltshire, yes, I would say he's in the mix. Now, to close out this podcast, other than Mike's comments, things about Saturday's matchup, the Grizzlies are a little bit different team than they used to be. They've yet to play Chandler Parsons in the preseason, recovering from knee surgery. They haven't officially ruled him out for Saturday, but I would not anticipate him playing until we actually see him out there. But Parsons was their big offseason acquisition, paid $94 million to get him. And the reason they did that, the Grizzlies want to become a more explosive team. They've been a plodding team for a while. Historically, they've been a very grinded out team that's given the Rockets problems. However, big picture, they have not been able to get past the likes of the Spurs or the Warriors because they don't have the offensive efficiency. So what they're trying to do with the likes of Parsons is play a little more up-tempo, a little more spread with an offense built around Mike Conley, Marc Gasol down low, and Parsons on the perimeter. And they're actually, you know, rather than forcing the Gasol-Randolph big front line down your throat, they're actually letting Randolph be the sixth man off the bench, play a little bit. You know, he'll play a little bit with Gasol, but mostly I think he'll be a backup five behind Gasol, and he can be basically your scorer. A lot of people think of six men as, you know, big-time scorers off the bench. That's something that Eric Gordon does in Houston. Yeah, you absolutely can do it with a big guy. There's just usually not that many skilled big guys, especially in the modern NBA. But Zach Randolph is an exception to the rule. He is under contract and very proven, so they're going to give him a role, but it's going to be a different one. And what that means for the matchup is that it's less about you know, grinding and just pounding it down low. You're going to see Memphis a little more traditional. So whereas in the past you would have had this huge contrast between Mike D'Antoni's spread offense up and down the court with Memphis's plotting style, I don't think you're going to see that huge contrast on Saturday night because that's not how Memphis really wants to play anymore. However, they are still going to challenge the Rockets in a couple of main areas. First, Marc Gasol, he's one of the best big men in the game. So when you look at Clint Capella, when you look at Montrezl Harrell, two of your three players at the five, I think Nene's a constant. You know what Nene's going to give you. But these two young guys, Capella and Montrezl, you want to see how they fare defensively against a really good offensive center in Marc Gasol. You want to see if Clint Capella can defend without fouling. You also want to see if Clint Capella can score on offense and how well the pick-and-roll game with Harden and Capella can work against a center that can defend as well as Gasol does. So I think it's going to be a big test for your young centers. The other thing, how do they defend the point guard position? D'Antoni touched on that a little bit in his comments. They made a change between Sunday and Wednesday, whereas Gordon started alongside Harden in the first game against the Pelicans. That was also a bad defensive game. So in game two, they switched. They put KJ McDaniels as Harden's backcourt mate, and the defense did seem to be a lot better. Now they're going to be going against Mike Conley, who's the highest paid player in the NBA. That's a little bit of a joke because that's obviously based on the new salary cap and Conley being the first guy to really get that 10 plus max in the current NBA. I don't think Mike Conley is anywhere near the best player in the NBA, but certainly he's a very good point guard. And as I've said before on this show, he's the kind of matchup that James Harden and Eric Gordon on paper would have trouble with. Because really, as Mike D'Antoni said, Pat Beverly's job is to defend point guards. That's his role. And right now, Beverly isn't here. So if there's a chance of this lingering into the regular season, and with D'Antoni saying, you know, maybe a couple more weeks, it certainly could. The Rockets need to find out what's their best option to defend point guards if Pat Beverly is not available. KJ McDaniels seemed to step up pretty well in Wednesday's games, but there are questions, can he shoot well enough to really be a starter just yet at the NBA level? Well, we might find out. The Rockets did not officially announce a starter. As far as, you know, will it be KJ again or will they go back to Eric Gordon? I think we'll find that out before the game on Saturday. But I would expect them to experiment with both on both ends of the floor, because question one is, you know, which of those guys is best suited to pick up a guy like Mike Conley and deny penetration as best they can. Of course, they could also slide Trevor Ariza over, as D'Antoni said, but I don't think you want to ask Ariza to check point guards all that often, or you're potentially going to wear him down, which was a problem with his inefficient playoff performance last year, I think. But yeah, that's one part of it. The other part is who can defend well enough to keep him in check while also making the offense flow as Mike D'Antoni wants it. There's a lot of moving parts. I would expect both Gordon and KJ to get serious looks, regardless of who starts. Obviously, the long-term hope is that Beverly is back, and there's still ample reason to believe he will be by opening night, but it's the same as the power forward position. You know, there's all logical reason in the world to believe that Donatas Moneyunas is going to eventually sign a contract and get with the Rockets, but you know what? It would be a disservice to assume that Donatas Moneyunas is going to do that, or that Pat Beverly is going to be healthy. Mike D'Antoni's got to work with the guys that are on that practice court and are on the court at Toyota Center on Saturday night, and you know, you can't assume what's going to happen tomorrow. He's got to be prepared no matter what. And so this weekend's going to go a long way towards establishing what the best contingency options are at those two positions. So with that said, I'm going to sign off. Thanks to all of you for listening. It's been a really great week. I want to thank all of you so much for the constant love on Twitter and tuning into the show. The last couple of weeks, I believe we've had over 10,000 listens since the preseason started. That's a great figure. I'm really honored that you guys care enough to listen to me ramble about basketball that much, but I hope I do provide you at least with a little bit of insight, trying to get as many quality interviews as I can, in addition to my own observations from going to the games, going to the practices. Thank you for tuning in, and if you haven't already, please subscribe to us, whether it be iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you search Locked On Rockets, you can definitely find us. And if you've got friends that are Rockets fans, tell them about it too. We're trying to be the best daily source for Houston Rockets coverage, and the more we can get the word out, the better. Again, I am Ben DuBose, reporter for SportsTalk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you can always email me or email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. with any questions for me, sponsorship inquiries, you name it. We want to be your source for daily coverage of the Rockets, and anything we can do to further bolster that effort, we would love to hear from you, and we would love to make this show as good as we possibly can. So on that note, I'm going to sign off. Hope all of you have a great weekend, and I will be talking with you again from Toyota Center on Saturday night.